British landscape painting. British landscape painting has its roots in land ownership. Before the era of democratized literacy, new land owners would commission painters to paint their land. The paintings would then be kept as land deeds. Sometimes the landowner and his family would be included in the painting foreground, but these paintings were always about the reproduction of the landowner's boundaries, not unlike the aerial photos of farmland in the 20th century. When military endeavors came to Canada, landscape painters, both in the French and British troops, were part of the military, and many high-ranking officers were highly trained in landscape painting. Part of this was that old tradition of ownership via reproduction. But also, there was the more practical need for records of terrain to help with map making. Eventually, landscape painting in Britain was no longer a tool. It was considered an art form, and it was a perfect vehicle for romanticism and the sublime. But bear in mind that the old idea of what you see you own was, and is, quite prominent in the British perspective of the world. And no matter how dramatic a romantic landscape may have been, the cultural aspect was often present in some way. Watercolor made for the perfect medium for painting on the spot. Watercolor painting rose to prominence in the 1700s. The best academies, particularly the British Woolwich Military Academy, placed great emphasis on introducing field officers to drawing and painting, a vital talent when planning attacks or sieges. These men, invariably from the upper classes, took this skill to their civilian lives, and the idea of keeping a personal sketching or painting journal became part of the expected accomplishments of a classical education. The Grand Tour. Landscape painting was a major part of the traditional Grand Tour of the coming-of-age middle and upper class after the 16th century. This tour, through Western Europe, was one of the final moments of training of a young person before they entered full adulthood. Throughout the journey, they were scheduled stops to enjoy the scenery and paint small travel journal paintings of the landscape. Young men on the Grand Tour were frequently accompanied by a drawing master. Watercolors were ideal for these travelers. They were highly portable, quick drying, and a kit needed only some paints and a few brushes. However, the colors had to be ground and mixed at each artist's studio. The popularity of the medium created a demand for good materials. Winsor Newton, still in business today, began to produce colors for both the government's academies and for private individuals. Early in the 1700s, the scheduled stops during the Grand Tour were all about documenting the ruins and cityscapes. But later in the 1700s and into the 1800s, British travelers wanted to paint the landscape around them, generally in watercolor or ink, and used them as a photo album, quote-unquote, of their trip. John Robert Cozens was a British landscape painter who achieved fame and deeply influenced future generations of British landscape painters. In 2003, his watercolor and pencil work of Lake Albina, shown above, sold for over £2.4 million, the highest price a watercolor painting had ever been sold for. His work, usually showing vistas of Italy and Roman ruins, does not quite reach the romantic and sublime heights of the artists who would come after him, but he was part of establishing a strong and vibrant landscape tradition in Britain at the turn of the 1700s and into the 1800s. Popular stops and destinations during the Grand Tour, depending on one's personal tastes and financial standings, was a trip to Rome via Paris. But as the French Revolution progressed, it became more and more impossible for people in Britain to travel down to Italy without going a very long way or traveling through dangerous and forbidden territory in France. As a result, they began to travel through the British Isles, doing a pared-down domestic version of the Grand Tour. This democratized the travel and the art created a bit because it was much less expensive to travel so close to home. It also meant that the later watercolors were of home, but with a Southern European-looking flair. It was good old England, but it looked like Italy. To do this, artists employed a compositional scheme called the picturesque.